Glorify Christ Jesus the King, Majesty. Worship your Majesty. You died, now glorified, King of all kings. Father, we want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, and we want to give you the position on the place of preeminence. We want to, Father, give you that right to rule and to reign within the very midst of our soul, that you might have the preeminence in our mind, our thoughts, our thinking. Those things, Father, that we conjure up and the things that work in that arena of thought. Father, we want to give them unto you this morning, that you might have the preeminence, that you might have the place, Lord, of authority over it. Father, we present our minds and our emotions and our desires to you as well. We're asking that your desires be our desires, that our eyes, when they look upon the things of this world, they will be, as the song saying, become strangely dim. Father, we do not want those magnifications. We do not want those positions or those places that bring some sort of sensual or physical comfort to our soul. But Father, we want the reality and the knowledge of the Father. We want the reality and the knowledge of your kingdom. We want the reality and the knowledge of the position and the calling and the election that is upon our lives. Father, that we might be of that company of people that might have that commendation. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For Father, I believe that is a commendation that can be awarded and attributed to many of us that desire to push and press and are willing to do what is necessary in order to have that position of accommodation. Lord, we just present ourselves to you this morning and ask that you have preeminence in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may see me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, somebody erased my drawing, so I'm going to redraw it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, last night we were talking about the position of preeminence in one way, one fashion or another, concerning the aspect or the subject that we call God. And I don't know that we really truly understand the aspect of it. And I believe that in this end time, God is revealing the mysteries of God. I also believe that he is revealing the mysteries of iniquity. But I don't believe that he's going to reveal the mysteries of iniquity without first giving us the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there were two trees in the garden that God planted. Hallelujah. One was the tree of life. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I have always had the thought that that tree of good and evil was something that was not so good. Praise the Lord. It was there and it had because one of the things that the Lord said about it, he says, if you partake, you can partake of every tree in the garden except for what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I always thought that that tree of knowledge of good and evil was something that was not supposed to be there. It was in some way or another a mistake. Hallelujah. But when God created everything, at the end of the day, he said all things were good. Hallelujah. Not only did he say they were good, but he said they were very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't necessarily bad in and of itself, but the fact of what happened is that Adam and Eve got the cart before the horse. Hallelujah. Because in John chapter 14, the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is to be is supposed to be leading us what? Into all truth. And so it is in the aspect, as we learn the truth, We learn the reality of the knowledge of good and evil, but we learn it from the right perspective. Hallelujah. When there is an endowment that is given to you and I by virtue of the creation of God in the beginning, when he breathed upon man in the beginning, man became a living soul. Now that man not only is a living soul, but he is comprised of a spirit as well as a body. But the significance and the aspect of life was on the soul. Hallelujah. But when man fell, he lost the connection with the Father. He lost that position of communication. Hallelujah. By virtue of trying to get the knowledge of good and evil before he took of the tree of life. Now, there's an interesting statement in all of that. The Bible says he were not driven out of the garden just because they took of the knowledge of good and evil. They were driven out of the garden, lest they eat of the tree of life and remain in that station, that position for eternity in that condemned position. So he said, let us drive them out of the garden, lest what? They become as one of us. Hallelujah. So God in his mercy didn't abandon humanity just because they sinned, just because they transgressed. God gave them an endowment. Hallelujah. An endowment are a sense of knowing the difference between right and wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I watch little children and the things that they do. And when I notice that these little tykes, you know, that are able to get around and do things and get into different things. And they go to something that you know that somehow intuitively they know they're not supposed to be bothering with, and before they touch it, they will look at you.
That's right, they do.
Huh? Before they touch it, they will look at you. Yes. Hallelujah. And especially if they touch it and you said no, you're not supposed to do that. Hallelujah. And you turn around and they turn around and go right back to it. But before they touch it, they'll look around to see if you're looking at them.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What is that? What is that working in? There is a consciousness of the aspect of between of right and wrong. So there's an endowment that God gives us in the beginning so that we are not godless. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. God never intended to abandon us. God never intended that we would be on our own. But in the aspect of what it was, that endowment is something that is temporary. Hallelujah. When the Bible says it is given unto that the spirit of man returns unto God when he dies, it means that that position, that endowment, if you do not utilize it for the sake for which it was created and given to you, it leaves you when you die because it's not going to go to hell with you. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of things about this gospel and the mystery of iniquity as well as the mystery of God that we do not understand because we don't take the time to dig into the scriptures concerning the aspect of what it is he is and what it is he wants us to be. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me, if you would, into Colossians. Hallelujah. And I want to start at the 13th verse, if I may. Hallelujah. The tabernacle is a schematic. Hallelujah. It is a blueprint. Now, if you're an electrician, you know what a schematic is. It is an outline of the wiring that is for a device or for your house or whatever it is that runs on electricity. Your car has a schematic that determines how it functions in an electrical manner. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the tabernacle is a schematic that God has given us concerning the position or the place of what it is he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and why he wants to do it. Hallelujah. And we are not given so much of a glimpse as from this drop off or this step out point where we move from the position of was to the position of was not. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. It says that Enoch walked with God in what? He was not. Hallelujah. I like that terminology. I really do like that terminology. And it doesn't mean that he somehow disappeared. It means that he was transfigured or translated as well as transfigured into another form and into another position, another layer, and he resides now in another realm. Hello? Hallelujah. And we should all be striving for the was not. Hallelujah. So this is a journey unto was not. From here to the position or the place of here, which is the Holy of Holies, Holy of Holies is a transition of translation, transfiguration, Hallelujah. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And anything out here in this position or in this place is called world. Now, there is, you could also call it a dimension or a level of hell. And to whatever degree you or I are out there, or it is in us as a part of what is out there, we are under the jurisdiction of hell. Hello? Hallelujah. And when we are born again, unfortunately, we are not changed entirely, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. But there is an element that is given to us, hallelujah, by virtue of that baptism, a virtue of that blood, there is an element of life that is given us, that has given us now a doorway by which we might walk into something that is different than what we were born into. And that there is the problem. Hello? That there is the problem. Hallelujah. Because this thing is more real to us than the reality of this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an interesting scripture. And it all has to do with the vertical outlay of the tabernacle, in that we look up into the heavens and we see the vastness of the universe. And we look at it as a thing. And now the astronomers are telling us that this is just a little segment of a greater reality of universes, and a greater reality of universes than galaxies and whatever else they might call them. Hallelujah. But we are, and then they, have you ever seen one of those things on the National Geographic? They take your world, your solar system, and then they put it into like the Milky Way. Is that right? Hallelujah. And then they take the Milky Way and they put it into something else, and they take that and put it into something else, and they take that and put it into something else. You can't even see you. As far as that is concerned, you don't even exist, because you're not even, you're so infinitesimally small that it is almost, you're almost unable to measure it in the vastness of the universe. But we look at it as a thing. Huh? Like you would look at an automobile. Huh? Hallelujah. We look at it as a thing, but it's not a thing. I believe it's like looking on the inside and the immensity of God. Hallelujah. Because the universe exists by virtue of who and what he is. Hello? And they tell me, I don't know if it's true, but they tell me, the scientists and those people who are really into that sort of thing, they tell me that that universe is still expanding. It's still growing. Hallelujah. And there's so many things out there, hallelujah, but that reality, that dimension is not a thing. It is a position and an existence because of a personality that we call Elohim. Hallelujah. So the vastness of the heavens, and that it says the vastness of the heavens, what? They are an example. They are a representation of the reality of that Elohim. Hallelujah. That's what it says in Romans 1. Hello? Hallelujah. And in Revelation, it says that all things were created by him. And all things exist because of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only by and all, but it says that they continue to exist by reason of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we relate to God in somewhat of a denominational position of thinking. And we relate to heaven as a denominational position of thinking. We think it's a actual place that we're going to go. Hallelujah. But it's not an actual place we're going to go. It is something that we are supposed to become. Hallelujah. The only way, and it's demonstrated so much in the life of Christ. It's demonstrated so much in the reality of what he did. You know he broke every physical law. Hallelujah. Do you know he broke every physical as well as spiritual law? He took bread and multiplied it. He took water and walked on it. Hallelujah. He raised the dead. He restored sight where there was no sight. What about the man that was born with no eyes? He created eyes within the man. Hallelujah. Man was born without the element of sight. And there's only one place in the Bible that he healed a man too good. He healed a man too good. Hallelujah. And it's the only place in the Bible that Jesus ever asked any man that was blind what he saw. Why did he do that? Why did he ask the man, what do you see? Hallelujah. He says, I see what? Men as what? Trees walking. That means the man saw a man, a tree walking. It had the figure and the face of a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the tree out there is a representation of a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. It's a representation of a greater reality. But we look at it and see the tree. We never think about the situation or the spiritual reality of it. Hallelujah. 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 And there is a reality that we are having to come to. Our perspective, our position of understanding must go from the horizontal, to the vertical. Hallelujah. We must change our perception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we want to change our perception, then we have to understand the reality of what it is that we have. You know, I always trying to get into the holy place. I'm always trying. When I get up here, I thought I'm going to go into the holy place. And I don't only want to go into the holy place, but I also want to go into the holy of holies. But I can't get past the brazen altar or the altar, the laver. Why? Because I believe that that we are stuck.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think we are stuck. Have you ever had one? Well, not so much anymore, I don't guess. But you had used to those old phonograph records. You put the needle on it, and it goes da 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 doop, da 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 boop, da 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 boop. And it can't get past that position, that place where there's a nick in it. And it seems like we are not able to get past the brazen altar or the brazen laver. And to whatever degree that we are still stuck in that realm, in that position, that place, that we are subject to we are subject to the mechanics of that place. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, do I even go there. When Brother Duciel came, let me do it this way. When Brother Duciel came, he began to bring us a revelation about certain things that we were doing as far as the world was concerned, and we were doing them in a manner of Christian activity. Huh? You remember those things? One of those things was Christmas. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if any of you celebrate Christmas. Hallelujah. But we learned that Christmas was something that was not invented by the Holy Spirit. It was something that was invented by the devil, and that the church took it and began to run with it. Hallelujah. And we know from different the things that have been presented and evidence that has been given to us, I'm not going to it, that it was something that was contrary to the behavior of those of us who have had a certain word. Now, if you're out here, behind this barrier of evangelicalism, you have not had the revelation of that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if ignorance is bliss, hallelujah, but I don't know that you're going to be held as much accountable as if you had that word that you have to break through this barrier. You have to stop, desist, and move beyond that position, that place. Hallelujah. And there's many ways. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just telling you, some of us are still in this arena. Some of us are still in this strata of behavior. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on from Christmas to Easter. Hallelujah. And the things that are working. Easter is an evangelical concept that is worship of the Son. It's not the worship of the S-O-N. It's the worship of the S-U-N, which is the Son of Zeus. And we're not supposed to be worshiping the Son of Zeus. We are supposed to be worshiping the Son of God. Hallelujah. And we are not supposed to be keeping his birthday, nor are we supposed to be keeping in the ritual sense the aspect of his resurrection. We are to demonstrate the reality of that resurrection. Not just one day a year, but every day of the year. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are not supposed to be knowing Christ after the flesh. Hello? But we still have this flesh image of his humanity, and we put it there in a position or a place. Hallelujah. Concerning the relativeness of our gospel, but it has nothing to do with what it is that God has spoke to us. Hallelujah. Because the goal, as I said last night, the goal, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, is the nature of Christ. That is the goal that God is wanting to bring us to. But the thing about this Christ is that this dimension of Christ will go on to a greater dimension beyond this point of time. Amen. I'm going to just let me say this is the end of time. Okay? Hallelujah. This is the end of time. Hallelujah. Why do you need time if you're eternal?
Amen.
Why do you need time? If that time frame was given for a specific reason, a specific purpose, hallelujah, and that purpose and that reason is now accomplished, why do you individually need time? Hallelujah. You are now become a timeless creature. Hallelujah. You've become a was not.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you think they're growing older in the heavenly realm? You think that they're growing, they're losing their hair, and they're losing their strength, and the things of old age are being portrayed upon their physical being? Hallelujah. Upon their physical or celestial composition? You think that age is being seen or known? Hallelujah. And time is something that is delegated for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. If you would look at it as like they have one of those monitors, they put the little tabs all over you, and it goes beep, 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 beep. It measures your heart, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, if you had one of those spiritual things, time would look like this. Here's eternity, right? Time would look like this. It would be a little beep. That's all it would be. Hallelujah. So time in itself is like time in some sense of the word is like the womb of God that he is creating and bringing forth a multi-membered body that he calls what? His son. And if you don't believe that, go into Romans, the 8th chapter, and read it from verse 1 all the way down to the end. Hallelujah. We are not supposed to be living after the carnal. And now, Paul is writing not to the sinner. He's writing to the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. That's what Paul is writing to. And he starts right at verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those that are what? In Christ Jesus, who do what? Walk as Christ Jesus, and not what? After the flesh. What happens if you walk after the flesh? Huh?
You will die.
It's condemnation. It's judgment. Yeah. If dying was just the thing, it might not be so bad. But if there's a consequence to doing it before you die, that consequence could be very painful, be very worrisome, could be very tribulating for you. Yeah. And you might wish you could die, but you don't die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So time is something that is given to us for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. And everyone is given a certain amount of time. Yeah. Hallelujah. To accomplish what it was that God has given them by virtue of the word that they have received. Hallelujah. And the reason I say that is that in Hebrews 11, when it talks about Noah, I believe it's Hebrews 11 and Noah, when it talks about Noah, it says Noah was perfect in his generation. Go look at the word perfect up. Look it up. Look the word perfect up. That means without spot, without blemish, to the knowledge and to the position of revelation that Noah had. Now, if you think Noah was just building a boat for the sake of the boat and the obedience to God, you got another thing coming. Noah was understanding the reality because as he built the boat, God was right there telling him what was going to happen. And I think Noah knew that he was a prophet and the thing that he was building was going to be a prophetic word. Hello? Hallelujah. Because everything about that boat, hallelujah, is everything that is in the tabernacle. It was 300 feet long. 300 cubits long. Hallelujah. 300 is the number of the overcomer. It was three stories high. Hallelujah. Outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. Hallelujah. And it had only one window up in the top. And then you open it, all you see is the heavens. Hallelujah. What does that tell you? Hallelujah. And when Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, when he went to this place, on his journey and he stayed for the night, he had a vision, he had a dream, but it wasn't really a dream or a vision, it was in actuality something that was happening, because in the morning when he got up, he had been touched by this entity, this spiritual entity, and he had been hit in his leg. Now you might think it was like a little limp, right? But no, the end is that he was dragging his leg. Hallelujah. And he saw angels ascending and he saw angels descending. What are we talking about? Angels are messengers. They are something that God is bringing to you, and there's something that is going up from the earth to God. Hallelujah. And it says that the Holy Spirit, what? Maketh intercession for us. It searches what? The inward parts of our souls. Hallelujah. What is it looking for? It calls it infirmities. Isn't that interesting? It's like a disease. It's we're looking for what kind of disease that we might have in the inward parts of our being. And now it's making intercession for us. Amen. That means that Holy Spirit, the message of God is not only coming down. We hear the message of Christmas. We hear the message of Easter. We hear this message, that message. And it begins the wheels turning, and it begins the reality of the story begins to become a part of my soul. Hello. And in the aspect of my desire to conform and to be in that place, the Holy Spirit says, this is hindering him. This is hindering him. This is hindering him. And so that message goes back up to God. Hallelujah. And if we were like Jacob when we were saying, Lord, I will not let you go until what? Until you bless me. It was no angel he was wrestling with, by the way. Angel just carries a message. Angel doesn't carry the ability to bless you. Hallelujah. That blessing has to come from the Lord. We are not ministered blessing via angels. We are ministered messages and knowledge and understanding by virtue of the word of God that comes to us, not by angels, but by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because God amended the rule of communication so that to be from angels to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's been so many books written about angels in their position, their place, that we have a cult of angel worshipers in some respect or another. But the fact of the matter is, there is a message that coming down from the heavenlies. And when Brother Ducille came, hallelujah, he came with a message. Hello, hallelujah. And that message had in it the seed of life. And many of us who heard that word, hello, we're touched by that word, and something in us changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, in the early days, I don't know, this may have went off. In the early days, hallelujah, in the early days, when I was coming out of the church as a young man, and I was learning the fallacies and the pit traps that were in the church, and not by virtue of somebody telling me, but by virtue of some troubling thing in my soul, hallelujah, was working, that telling me, I'm going to church to find God, but I'm not finding him. Hallelujah. And I was born again in a Baptist environment. And I went from Baptist to Pentecostal. And when I was in the Pentecostal church, it was in that time frame that I met Brother Duciel. And he came to my mother's home. And it wasn't because I invited him. It was because my mom invited him. And I was a little bit irritated with mom for inviting him because we didn't know this man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was a little bit irritated with her because he took her, him and Mavis into her home. And I said, you don't know these people. And you just go up to a meeting and then you invite the man down here and you don't talk to us about it at all. And you don't know who this man is or what he wants. Hello. Hallelujah. Of course, you probably were a little different than all that. Hallelujah. But that was my state of mind. But when I want to tell you, from the first meeting until the last meeting, things changed.
Amen.
Things changed. Hallelujah. And you know, it wasn't easy for me at that time. I was working and I had major responsibilities and I had things I had to do. Hallelujah. That were important things. But you know, I had to put everything on hold. Hallelujah. And those meetings, I don't know how yours were in the beginning, those meetings weren't short meetings. Hallelujah. I'd arrive at my mom's place at 6:30 in the evening. I'd run home. I'd get changed. I'd eat a little something, jump in my car and run over to my mom's house. And I would come in. I'd sit down in the chair and the meetings would begin about 7 or so. And they would go to about 10 or 11. Hallelujah. I didn't know anybody could talk that long for that long a time. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that as he began to talk and as he began to share, there was something reaching out and into my soul. And I sat like a bird there on the front seat, hallelujah, like a bird with his mouth open. And the wider I opened it, the more I was able to eat and digest, hallelujah. And it would be, by the time the meeting was over 11, I would be sitting there talking with the man, asking him questions and doing all that. And I wouldn't get home till 2 o'clock. And it was every night that way for 3 weeks. Hallelujah. But there was an energy, there was a strength that God was giving me in the position or in the ministry of that word that was creating something in me. Peace! Hallelujah. And I can tell you without doubt that when Brother Duciel left, I was a changed man. I realized that there was something more for me than just baptism, just salvation and baptism. And that God had a plan for me. And God had a purpose for me. And God was going to utilize me at the end of the day for that plan, for that purpose. I don't know if you ever stop to think about it. Hallelujah. We're still trying to get into heaven. Oh, maybe not you, maybe me. We're still just trying to get into heaven. When it says heaven came down and fills my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is a purpose. There is a plan here. This is just from here to here, from here to there. This is just phase. Huh? Phase one. Do you hear me? You could say it's the next step, which would be step 8. Huh? Hallelujah. 8 is the number of new beginnings. I'm going to walk through all of these phases, walk into the holy place, walk from the holy place into the holy of holies, and walk out of the holy of holies into Christ. Hallelujah. But Christ has a reason. Christ has a purpose. And that person is not just spiritual, it's also physical. God is changing his mode of operation. I don't know if you really realize that. Huh? And when I call it the fourth dimension, it's because it's a new realm. It's a new division of time, from time to eternity. But in that eternity, there's something that God wants to do with you and I. And I don't know why he decides that he wanted to condescend and bring himself down into a fashion and form that he could meld and merge with a human being, but that is what he desired to do. For whatever reason, he wanted to do it. And whatever reason he wanted to do it, he wanted to make you and I a part of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He could have done anything else. Hello? Hallelujah. But when in the beginning there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it says that the earth was without form and void, something had happened, something devastating, some sort of destruction had worked and brought hell into a position of manifestation. And God determined that he would not only get rid of that circumstance, but he would get rid of the agent that was causing that set of circumstances. And from when that was done, he would go on with what it is he wanted to do. Loose! Hallelujah. I don't know what you think of when you read John chapter 17. And you read those verses, 21, 20, 21, 22, 23 maybe. Hallelujah. He says that they want maybe one. Maybe one. I am supposed to be one with the Elohim. Huh? I'm supposed to be one with the Elohim. And the Elohim is supposed to be one with me. That means he's incorporating you and I into the Godhead. Has he ever done anything like that before? Is he angels? In that position, in that place? Hallelujah. Why? Because there, it says, it has not entered into the mind of man. Of course it hasn't entered into the mind of man. Man is still segmented and cemented into this position of physical existence that is more of a reality to us than the spiritual realm that is around us. Hallelujah. And you know, the devil knows more about God's plan than we do. Hello? And the whole aspect of the devil is to try to get humanity into a place that it can harbor the fullness of iniquity. It can harbor and house the fullness of that malignant darkness without destroying the vessel. Hallelujah. So God knew in his timing that the 7,000 years he was going to give us was a sufficient time frame, a sufficient amount of word that to bring us to a position and a place of fullness that we would be able to resist the devil totally, completely, and absolutely and put him down and put him away. Yes. The devil is not our problem. My mom said, you know, Bert, you're your own worst enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're your own worst enemy. We have a spirit that we have to deal with as Americans.
Yeah.
And I can talk about it because I'm an American. I'm working against the Americanism. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going into some other political alignment. Hallelujah. It says the Declaration of Independence. Those are not just words, brother. Those are not just words. We all have our individual kingdoms. We all have our individual place of self comfort, self alignment, self. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it, it is indicative. It is purely, totally self. Hallelujah. John Paul Jones had his flag flying on his flag when they were wrestling against the British. He says, don't tread on me. Hallelujah. Why? Because you put your foot on me, I'm going to bite you. Hallelujah. And we get so easily offended with each other. It can just be a look. Huh? And it's not a spirit of submission works in lieu of a spirit of discernment. Hello? Oh boy, you're awfully quiet. Hallelujah. We are not where we should be. We are not where we should be. And I do not think that God is really content with us. I think God is kind of concerned that he knows the element of time is like coming closer and closer and closer. And he looks at the element of time and he looks at the element of our the position of the place of our acceptance of the word, of our embracing of the word. Hello? Do you think it was comfortable for Jacob to drag his leg around for the rest of his life? No. You think that might have had some bearing in his thinking as far as his disability is concerned? Hallelujah. We are to fight against disabilities. We may be disabled, but that doesn't mean I have to accept it. Amen. And I'm not talking about denial. Amen. I'm talking about the reality of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the reality of the calling and election that is to be upon my life. If I want to be a joint heir.
Amen.
With who? Christ. It says, if I suffer with him, how am I going to suffer with him? Well, God's going to allow me to be afflicted in some manner, some way, some fashion, some form. It says that Jesus took upon himself every infirmity. Oh, that's a really, it's on Jesus, not on me. Hallelujah. Brother Duciel was praying about a situation of cancer with one of his relatives. I don't remember. I think it was his sister. Hallelujah. And he was praying and he invoked the power of healing. And this angel comes to him with a line, gives him the end of it, and he goes. The angel starts to go off to the position or the place of as a vehicle to carry that commission. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gets a certain distance away and he stops and he turns around and says, "Whose account am I going to put this to?" You know what he was saying,
huh?
Are you willing to suffer the cancer? Are you willing to take the brunt of the cancer? Are you willing to do it? I was sitting in a meeting. Hallelujah. I was sitting in a meeting. No, we're not willing. We don't want to see the thing come to a fullness. We don't want to see the thing come to a position. We don't want the people to die, but we're not willing to stand in the gap between them and it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. And if you don't think you're guilty, that's fine. Hallelujah. He says, who am I? I was sitting in a meeting up in Canada, and one of Brother Warnock's meetings, and we were sitting there, and there was this lady there. She wasn't autistic. She was. She didn't have good motor functions. And her husband, who had been her nurse originally, hallelujah, married the woman in order for him to be able to take care of her in the way that she should be taken care of. She was in the meeting. And the Spirit was moving, and Brother Warnock got up and says, somebody wanted to pray for her. And Brother Warnock got up and says, which one of you is now willing to stand in her shoes? Nobody raised their hand. They're all willing to pray. And I'm not against praying. But I believe in praying by the Spirit. I believe in moving under the unction and the anointing of God to pray a fervent and right prayer, that prayer might be heard. But it says a fervent prayer of a righteous man. Righteous means that you are in position, you are in place in your relationship with God as you should be according to the word that you and I have heard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not in that position. Is God going to hear our prayer? Hallelujah. And I think it used, didn't he use Elijah as an example of that? Huh? Elisha. That was the successor of Elijah. Use Elisha as an example of that position of fervency. That guy must have been a wild man. He must have been crazy. He must have had a bad reputation. Oh, that Elijah. Did you know what he did down there at the river? He killed all those children. Why did he do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a position, there's a calling, there's an election upon our life. It's not just evangelical, and it's not just Pentecostal. Huh? It's not just Pentecostal. But we are evangelical, and some of us are evangelical Pentecostals. Hallelujah. And some of us are not only just evangelical Pentecostals, but we're also holy place people, huh? That is denominationalized. Huh? Because we are not utilizing the tools that are given to us by virtue of what they are utilized to be utilized for, and that virtue is to be changed. I have to lose the identity of Asbel. I have to lose the identity of Asbel. I have to lose the identity of Bert, and I must become Bert in Christ. Hello? Oh, this is too radical, right? Oh, my God. Help us. Hallelujah. You know, I have this Facebook app. I don't belong to Facebook. I have this Skype app. And it has this little thing in there that you can put your birth date in. So I'm minding my own business. And I open my Skype. Bing, 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 bing. Birthday, birthday, birthday. Do you know what? Birthdays are a recognition of the position of your natural birth. So if I'm still celebrating my birthday, I am bringing that man up out of the grave with all of his familiar spirits, with all of the intentions of hell that are upon him. Hello? Come on. What's the difference between our birthday and Christ's birthday? Why do you think it is that Christ hid his birthday? We don't know the exact date. Why do you think it is that the Bible says we are to know no man after the flesh? Hence Christ, know ye Christ no more. Are you Christ? You should be. Because that is the position, that is the place that God is bringing you to. You are to be Christ in God. When the Elohim got together in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 said, and said, let us make man in our own image. Hello? They agreed that at that point that Christ would be the element by which man would traverse from humanity to man-God. Hello? Hallelujah. And in Romans 12, when you have the birth of the child, it is called a man-child. And it refers to the aspect of the position of a not only a physical birth, but a spiritual birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That entity, that position of life is governed by an entirely different order of submission. And that submission is unto the Father, which is outside of this world domination. Now, you can go ahead and celebrate your birthdays and whoever's birthdays you want to celebrate. That's up to you. Hello? But don't expect God to intervene in certain situations that celebration brings because of your lack of understanding. Huh? Don't expect God to intervene. Don't expect God to intervene. He has given us the principle. We don't celebrate Easter. We don't celebrate Christmas or these other holidays. Why should we celebrate birthdays to resurrect that old man? Huh? Why? Why should we do it? Why should we do it? Hallelujah. I was in a meeting one time in Africa. And this child, they were going to christen this child that was just born. So they had all the relatives come up. Now, that was their first mistake because they should have had the elders come up if they were spiritual to lay hands on it. But they had all of the relatives, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa on one side, grandma and grandpa on the other side, and all of the uncles and the aunts, they all came up to lay their hands on this child. And when they began to pray for this child, I went into a vision. I mean, it really wasn't a vision, but it was an experience. And I saw all of these spirits coming in. Hallelujah. All of these familiar spirits coming in. And as they laid the hands on the child, those spirits took a position of possession and right over the life of that child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to take 3 steps forward and then 4 steps backwards. Hello. Hallelujah. But you don't do it because I'm telling you. You have to go to God and ask Him, is this thing that I am saying is true? Yeah. Hello. Hello. Yeah. Hello. And I realize how hard it is. I realize how difficult it can be. Hello. But I also know the ramifications of what I do and I don't do as according to the Word of God. And there is something that is attributed to me either for righteousness or unrighteousness. If I walk after the Spirit, and fulfill the wishes and the desires of the Spirit, hallelujah, I am not going to walk under the spirit of condemnation. Condemnation is judgment.
Amen. Amen.
It's simple, brethren. Go into Romans chapter 8. New beginnings, by the way. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4. New beginnings! Why are we bringing the old into the new? I know. Something old, something new. Huh? What did you say?
Something borrowed.
Something blue. Burn it. Burn it. Burn it. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
All of our actions should be unto Him, not unto us, not unto the environment in which we are living. Hallelujah. Not unto the appeasement of those that are around us. Hello. We are still out here in the outer court somewhere, wandering around. Hallelujah. And when it says, when you see the desolation of abomination standing up in the holy place, what does it say? Flee. Where are you supposed to flee?
To the Lord, to the mountain.
Huh? We're to flee to the mountain. What is the mountain? That is the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Are you going to turn around and run for the exit? He says, we are not of them who turn back unto perdition. Listen to me, brethren. You and I that have this message, there is an accountability to us that is greater than somebody who doesn't have it. And if you think that you can reject the golden altar of incense and go out and live a normal Christian life, you are mistaken. That door is not open to you. It is a point of no return. The only return that there is into a position of perdition. Hallelujah. It's spiritual suicide. Judas was an example of spiritual suicide. Hello? He had sat with the Lord. He had heard the same thing that the other 11 disciples had heard. And he decided to go contrary to that word for the sake of his own position of preeminence. First of all, it was natural gain. 30 pieces of gold, silver. 30 pieces of silver. Hello? He could have got gold, but he settled for silver. Hallelujah. There was no redemption for him. There was no position of repentance for him. He went out and hung himself.
Amen.
Why? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was no divine intervention. Do you understand me? The man is in hell.
Amen.
Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had that position. He has the place. We all have to deal with the Judas spirit because it is the spirit of perdition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You and I are born with the spirit of perdition because we're born by virtue of one man's sin. It says by one man's disobedience and rebellion against God, what? Death came, and so death came upon all people. So death is the aspect of the reality of that position of sin. And it says that death will be what? The last enemy that we are supposed to overcome. How are you going to overcome death if you don't die? Not only spiritually, how are you going to overcome death if you don't die physically? How are you going to do it? Are you going to get out of it? You going to be like Enoch? Well, maybe some of us will get like Enoch. I don't know. Hallelujah. But the majority of death is going to have to go by way of the axe. You know, it always bothered me. Brother Dusiel said at the end of the day, we're all going to get our heads cut off. Oh, my God. Do you know why you need your head cut off? It's the detachment of your human brain from your human body. It says, let this mind therefore be in you. What? This mind that was in who? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's why you have to lose your head. Come on, Patty. You have to lose your head. Everything about your head has to go. It has to be thrown into the garbage can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are. That's what I want to go back to.
You forgot to tell us
the chapter. Oh, I did. It's Colossians. Here. Let me find out what chapter. Just wait a minute. I'll find it here in a minute. Colossians, was it 1?
Well, that's a good verse, 1:13.
All right. Yes. I said where it was originally.
You said verse 13, but you didn't.
Okay, that's where I want to go. I want to go to verse 13, Colossians.
What chapter?
First chapter.
Right.
I think I said Colossians 1 at the beginning, didn't I?
Well, we only heard 13. You might have.
Oh, all right. I'll take that. I stand corrected. Praise God. All right, Colossians 1:13. No, let's go up to verse 12. 12 is the number of government. 13 is between government and 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath what? Made us meet to be what? Partakers of what? Of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Do you want to know what the light is? Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Him was the light. And what the light was the life of men. So the totality of it all is the aspect and the nature of Christ.
Amen.
That is the goal. That is the position. That is the place that God is wanting us to come to. Hello? What if I stop right here somewhere? What if I stop here? 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 Or here? What if I stop right here? Huh? What if I stop? I don't go through. Hallelujah. This little thing that is called the golden altar of incense. What if I don't go through that? Huh? That is the window through which I must enter into the timeless aspect of eternity, which is the Elohim. Because this is the giving up of the redemptive soul. All that you have become by virtue of the sacrifice and the overcoming of tribulation and all of the things that are now right between you and the Father, hallelujah, that soul now has to be offered.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Some of us are going to have to physically die in order to come into this position, this place of relationship that we call the Holy of Holies. Hello? Hallelujah. Maybe all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. For the dead bodies were laying in the streets for 3 days and three nights. Isn't that right? Huh? Isn't that what the Bible says in Revelations?
Yes.
Huh? Whose bodies are laying in the streets? Headless. Huh? I always wonder, how are they going to get the right head? Of course, you don't ask questions like that, right? How are they going to get the right head? You have all these headless people laying out there in the street. Their heads are somewhere else. How are they all going to get the right head? Hallelujah. They're going to get a different head. And that head is going to have a new name. That head is going to have a new nature. And that head is going to be totally, absolutely consecrated and dedicated to the source of life, which is the head, which is the Father. Do you know at the end of the day, Christ Jesus turns everything back over to the Father? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, here it is. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, by the word, that word meet. What does it mean? Somewhere around here. There it is. Hallelujah. That word meet, to make able, to make sufficient, to equip one with adequate power to perform duties of one. Hallelujah. To make us meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of Christ. Hallelujah. Of Christ in light. I want to see just for a moment what the Amplified says concerning this. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Hallelujah. If you go to Ephesians, and I believe it's in Ephesians 2, I'm not sure, down toward the last part of the chapter, it could be Ephesians 1. It says that the eyes of our understanding, what? Being enlightened. Hello? To be enlightened is to have a light or a position of understanding that we might, what? Comprehend what His. You know, I read that for years, what my inheritance was in Christ Jesus. I read it that way for years. And I've read the scripture many times. Many times I've read it. Hallelujah. But it's always been my inheritance. Of course, you probably don't have that problem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But it is His inheritance. Who has what? Delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Do you know that word power is asusia? Huh? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Who has delivered us from the position of the captivity of the right to choose. Hallelujah. The power of darkness robs you of that position of authority. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? And it robs you by virtue of deception because it makes you do the wrong thing. Hallelujah. If somebody slaps you, you want to retaliate. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about not retaliating on the outside. I'm talking about not retaliating on the inside. Amen. You know about that, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We may smile, huh? But in our minds, we're working over the insult, we're working over the humiliation, we're working over the offense, and we're working against the spirit of righteousness of forgiveness. So it's not a matter of what you do on the outside, it's a matter of what you do on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody does something to you, and you want to relate it in some way, some manner, that it does not seem that you are being critical. Oh my God. This is the philosophy of hell, by the way. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to pray about this. Blah, 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 blah. This is what happened. Blah, 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 blah. And they did blah, blah, blah. Well, let's just pray that this blah, 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 blah. We put it in a positive way. Put it in a positive manner. But quite frankly, it's not a positive manner. It's not a positive place. We're asking God. I'm asking you to ask God to vindicate me and my situation of offense.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you know, there is no offense that is committed, hallelujah, that God is going to intervene in if my motivation is not right. Hello? If I'm looking for self-justification, if I'm looking for self-vindication, if somehow I am exalting this unholy trinity, hello? Hallelujah. As to me, myself, and I, God is not going to move on my behalf. How can he? Because if he moves on my behalf, then I am solidified and I am planted in that position of transgression.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I have to, in some way or another, work it out that I relieve myself of that guilt and of that stain that is on my soul. And I think in some manner or another, I have to wash the feet of that individual.
Amen.
Washing of feet is not just a physical thing. Washing of a feet has a spiritual thing. You're saying that this man or this person or this lady has done all of this transgression, but God, I am taking it and I'm washing it away. And I am dealing with it. It is yours. No more will I work on it. No more will I think about it. No more will I act and move in this position or this place of transgression. Purge my mind. Purge my soul. Purge the absolute being of my entirety. That it no longer comes into my mind.
Amen.
Please.
Hallelujah.
And then, you know, if you come to that place, if you come into that place, no matter what anybody might say about it, no matter what anybody might do about it, there is nothing in you that the devil can touch.
Amen.
Do you hear me? There's nothing the devil can touch, and you stand, as it were, vindicated, justified, and consecrated as far as the Spirit of God is concerned. You have dealt with the issue. Hello? No matter how many times somebody wants to come to you and dig it up. Hallelujah. You just have to take those bones and put them back in the grave and cover them up. And we're still dwelling. We're still working on some of those aspects, some of those things that have happened in the past. They keep coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back. Hallelujah. And we should be like ducks. You should be like ducks. You pour water on a duck, it doesn't stick. Hallelujah. It just rolls off of its back into the water. You think that duck is aware of that water? Or maybe a little shakes
him. Amen.
Hallelujah. You ever see a horse roll in the mud? Hallelujah. And that horse gets up and it shakes itself. That horse is shaking. You wonder how an animal that big can shake every part of his body in the way that he's shaking it. Huh? Hallelujah. I have had a horse that would roll in the mud and roll in the dirt. And if you were within about 10 feet of her, you could feel the ground shaking. Mm. Hallelujah. When she shook herself. And she shook herself from nose to tail. Every bit of her was shaking it, and dirt and dust and things were flying all over the place. Hallelujah. Maybe it was just my imagination, but every time she did that, she looked a whole lot cleaner at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Maybe it was just my mind working, but I don't know, that she seemed a whole lot, she glistened more, she looked more, the color was deeper and all that thing. And I said, wow, hallelujah, I wish I could do that. But the Bible says we are to shake ourselves from the dust. We are to shake ourselves from the dust. We're talking about earthquakes, brethren. Hallelujah. We are to be shaking ourselves. We are to be shaking off all of these attributes of humanity. These things that are pertinent to the world that is around us. Have no business in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have a word, and we certainly don't want to deny the power of it. Wasn't that one of the condemnations that Paul brought against one of the churches? Huh? You have a word that seems that seems godly. Oh, no, it's not only Paul, but it was in the Revelation when John was writing what the Lord was showing him. He says that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Oh, how would you like to be a caretaker in the morgue? Come on! He is not talking to a denominational church. He is talking to a holy place church that is becoming denominationalized. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you see the abomination of desolation, it's not somebody coming up and setting a wooden idol up in that physical place of the holy place. It is when self stands up in the midst of the holy place message. It is when self begins to manifest itself in the reality of its own nature and self-preservation. Hello, that is the abomination. He said, that is an abomination. Hallelujah. And we are supposed to shake ourselves from the dust. He says, rise up. Hallelujah. Shake thyself from the dust and sit down. Hallelujah. Where are we seated? We are supposed to be seated in where? Heavenly places. Isn't that where we're supposed to be seated? Yes. Heavenly places? Yes. What does it mean? He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am. Hallelujah. There you might be also. He had his feet on the earth, but his head was in the clouds. Yes. His head was with the Father. He was there in the realm of the heavenlies. That is what we're supposed to be, of this world, but not of this world. Hallelujah. Come on. Go home and examine your world. Hallelujah. That's what we all need to do. We need to go home and examine our world. Amen. What is the world that I'm most in? Am I riding the fence? Oh, yes, I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was an old expression, he who straddles the fence will wind up with stickers in the end. That is more than play on words, Judy. You ever hear about the thorn in the flesh? Hallelujah. Brethren, God is calling us higher.
Amen.
I think God is really giving us an ultimatum. Amen. I really do. If I want to be a part of this company, there is something I have to do here, here, and here. There's something I have to contribute. There's something that I have to give. Hello? Everything up to this right here, this position of salvation, it was free. By virtue of his sacrifice. It's free. You can have it.
Amen.
All you have to do is ask for it.
Amen.
That's all you
got
to do. Was it easy for you to get saved? It wasn't easy for me. Hallelujah. I had to fight it. I had to fight in the church, white knuckles, the whole gamut. Hallelujah. But it's free.
Amen.
Everything else from here on, you pay for.
Yeah.
It's in the installment plan. By the mercy of God. Should those who have been delivered from sin continue therein? It's to know to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The more I know about this thing, the greater my liability is.
Yes, it is.
I think God is giving us an ultimatum. And quite frankly, I think we're running out of time. When Trump was elected, you may not agree with me, but nevertheless, when Trump was elected, God told me, you have more time. But I think that time is running out. I think that time, at the most, we might have another, at the most, possibly another 4 years, maybe 6 years. He's been in 2 years, so it'd be 6 years. But at the most, we have 6 years, but I don't even know that that is going to be the case.
Amen.
The devil is fighting him tooth and nail. And it's not that he's a godly man. It is just that he's giving us more time. And you're the reason the devil is, you're the reason the devil is fighting him. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we really do need to pray for the man. But we need to pray for ourselves. And we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to deliver us from the propensity of the world that is in us. I can't tell you. I can give you some information that God has given me concerning the world, but you are the ones who know what your world is.
Amen.
And you know where you are in that world, and you have to go to God concerning it. If you don't know, ask Him.
Yes.
And then ask Him to give you the strength to see it. And admit to it and submit to the process of change. So God bless you. Do we know that song, I'm Being Changed, Changed, Changed?
Yes.
From glory to glory. I'm being rearranged by the Spirit of God. Transformed, transfigured, translated to the image of Jesus. Beholding His face, receiving His grace, beholding His face, and I'm being changed.